First, 3 weeks ago, Can God Meet Your Needs? And then 2 weeks ago was Secret to Getting Our Needs Met. And then last week, talked about Can God Use Your Life? And I was reading something that kind of triggered a thought in my head. And the thought was this. I find that many people tend to want to feel better rather than actually getting better. What do I mean by that? Well, we've heard throughout 2020 the word social justice. We've heard words such as systemic racism. And, you know, when you hear these terms, such as systemic racism, well, first of all, racism, is that a good word or a bad word? When you hear it, what comes to mind? It's something that's negative, right? So if you're trying to get rid of racism, I don't think there's anybody that would say that's wrong. But now, when you lump it together with the word system, systemic, and then you say the entire system is racist, but because you've combined systemic with racism, now everyone feels like, oh yeah, we got to get rid of racism. But that's not exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about a system that is based on racism. And if you look around, you know what's fascinating is that I was watching a news report, and I forget where it was. Oh, I know, it was at a school board meeting. It was a black father that was speaking up. And he was talking about the, you know, critical race theory and so on and so forth. And what he objected to, one of the main things that he objected to was, he said, I have mixed race children. And when the school teaches my child that her mom is racist, how do you think it makes my child feel? Because the mother is white, father is black, right? And I thought about that because essentially, on the surface, it may sound good. And so it actually makes people feel better that they think that they're doing something, but in actuality, it's not making anything better. So the point is, why not get to the root cause? And that's the reason why I said we need to pray for the president, because the operation to get out of Afghanistan, the method that they, the plan that they enacted was not a good plan. But rather than complaining about how they did it, my concern is how are we going to get the Americans that are left trapped in Afghanistan out? Once we get everybody back home safely, then we can take a look at the mistakes. But grumbling, complaining about it doesn't do us any good. So what? Does it make you feel better to complain about it? Because it's not doing anything positive for the situation. We need to find solutions. You and I will not be able to provide a solution because that is an international thing. But think about this. What about here in Hawaii? You know, last week, Wednesday night, there was a rally that was held at the state capitol for people that were against all of these mandates, vaccine and mask mandates and so on. Of course, I was oblivious to it because I'm not on social media, so I have no idea that that was going on. And of course, you know that our local media is never going to report on a rally that goes against the narrative, right? But what was... after church, we were at Louisville Bakery over on Nimitz. And then there was a table right next to us. It was like five ladies and one guy. And the guy stood up and he turned his back. He was walking towards the door and I looked at his shirt. I went, oh, and I ran up. I'm here with Colton. Colton's going, what's going on? I said, I got to talk to that guy. You know the guy? No, I don't know the guy, but I got to talk to the guy, right? So fortunately, he stopped at the front of the restaurant. So I went, hey, I like your shirt. And he says, yeah. I said, where'd you get it? He said, oh, right here. There was a label, Oh My Kai, right? The shirt said this, COVID 19. The C said, Christ. O said, overcomes. B says, viruses. I, infectious diseases. And the 19 was Joshua 1:9. I have to take a picture of that. I bring that up because people actually are getting into the trenches and they're making their voices known, right? We complain. We can complain. I don't like the vaccine. I don't like the face diapers. I don't like the shot. Whatever, whatever, whatever. What are we doing about it? You know, I get these emails to contact our senators and representatives regarding the last one I contacted our representatives was for the HR 1 bill. And specifically, I was talking about, I stated that I believe that all life is valuable and we should be protecting all life. And then I got a canned response back saying, I think this one was from Senator Schatz, that said that the senator strongly believes that a woman's body is her choice and it is her decision. So, I copied that portion of his email, that response that I got back, and I sent another email last week to the senator's office, and I said, according to the response that I got from the senator regarding the sanctity of life, I truly believe also that my body, so I have a right not to take the vaccine. And I put that quote in there, and I had the header of the email, when it was sent, by whose office and everything else, and I sent it back to them. Never got a response. Never got a response. But the point is this, all right? We can sit and complain, or we can do something about it. What I want us to do is turn to 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. And as you're turning there, let me open us in prayer. Father, we thank you once again. And Lord, I pray that as we read through the story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, Lord, that we would understand that it is important to not just hear your word, but to obey your word. So Lord, I pray that each and every one of us has a sincere desire not to just feel better, but to actually get better, Lord. Pray this, we pray your blessings on our service, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Alright, so in 1 Kings chapter 22, we see the story of Ahab, and Ahab is going to war with Syria. He recruits the king of the southern kingdom, Jehoshaphat. And in so doing, we see that that Ahab, all of these around prophets that basically tell him that, yeah, you should go into battle. You even got one guy that made these horns out of steel, and he's saying, yeah, you're going to conquer these people. But what I want us to do is jump down to verse number 8. Verse number 8. In fact, back up a bit. Go to verse 6. Oh, back up. Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Verse 7, and
Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Verse 8, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he did not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. You know, oftentimes people want just to hear that somebody else agrees with them. We call them yes people, right? They disagree. But what we truly need, especially when we're in trouble, is that we need sound advice. So, Jehoshaphat asked a very good question. Is there not a prophet here of the Lord that we may inquire of him? And what does Ahab respond? Yeah, there's another guy here. But every time he says something, it's always because he always says bad things about me because I'm not listening to him. Right? And we wonder why. You know, many years ago, I stopped giving out nutrition advice. I stopped giving out health advice because it's none of my business. But I can tell you one thing. Something that does irk me is when people do ask for my advice, and I ask them, why are you asking? You know, what's the reason why? Because I want to know what the reason why is. You know, if it's just to lose weight or whatever it is, that's an easy thing to do. But if it's a health issue or whatever, yeah, I want to probe a little deeper. Because depending upon whatever your health need is, perhaps the advice needs to be suited for that particular thing. And I remember telling someone that had type 2 diabetes. And he was very sincere. And so we had a long discussion. And the person told me, after we were done, oh, I cannot give up my rice. I said, but I thought you wanted to get better. He said, yeah, but I can eat a little bit of rice, huh? I said, not really. How many milligrams of insulin are you taking a day? I mean, don't you want to get off the insulin? Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, but there's got to be another way. I said, well, you asked me and, you know, that's the only thing I know. I said, you need to get rid of the stuff that's causing your insulin to go into craziness. I said, you're basically allergic to carbohydrates. You have a carbohydrate intolerance. You need to get rid of all the carbohydrates, including sugar. And rice. He didn't want to do it. I said, well, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. I said, obviously, you were not serious about getting better. Because you can eventually get off the insulin if you stick to a good, nutritious diet. But he didn't want to. And the same thing here. Sadly, with Ahab, he didn't want to hear the words of Micaiah. But what's fascinating about this is that even Jesus received responses like this. When he answered questions or when he did miracles, you just go to one. The first one is Matthew 19, and I'll read the verses here. It's verse 16. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This is the rich man. And verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. His response in verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, oftentimes what happens is that, say, oh, well, I want to know what the will of God is, right? I want to know what the will of God is. I don't share this to pat myself on the back because this has been on my mind a lot. It's like, I want to be obedient to God. I want God to smile down upon me. And so
today, when I went into the men's restroom on our floor in the building, at my office, this past week, I've noticed for whatever reason, the men's restroom has been trashed. One day I went in, there was like wet paper towels on the counter and on the floor and all. It was like somebody's taking a bath, and I don't doubt because we do have a homeless problem in our neighborhood. But neither here nor there. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things. You see it, you make a comment in your head, and then you just want to just get out of the bathroom. But I said, I want God to smile down on me. So grab some extra paper towels, pick up all the rubbish, threw it in the trash. I said, all right, Lord, I guess you're trying to keep me to my word. And I just walked out the bathroom door. Because nobody was there. It was just myself, right? But at the same time, it's those things when you do, when nobody's looking, puts a smile on God's face. And ultimately, this man, this rich man in Matthew, basically wanted to know how to get into the kingdom of God. And Jesus told him exactly what he needed to do. And he turned and walked away because he had too many possessions. You know, I look at like charity work and stuff. And I still am. I shouldn't say I used to be because I have not broken the habit. Is that charity, for me at least, it's easy to give a few dollars or whatever, to make a donation, rather than donate my time. It's easier to cut a check than it is for me to give time. Why is that? Why do I have difficulty giving up my time? And I thought about that. If I donate $25, okay, how long do you take me to write the check? A minute? Less than a minute? Right? $25. What's $25? A third of a gas tank of gas. And then if I fill up at Costco, I already saved almost $25. You guys know that if you're filling up at the neighborhood gas station, I'm saving anywhere between $18 to $20 every time I go to Costco to fill up gas, right? Okay, so $25. Took me a minute to write. But if I have to donate my time, I might have to donate a full Saturday or full evening. And somehow, some way, deep down, that's not something I love the organization, I love the charity or whatever it may be, but I'm not willing to give up that time to them. I'm not so tied into them that I'm willing to make that commitment. And I have to take a look at that. Because oftentimes what happens is, I said earlier, actions speak louder than words, right? It would be good to put the love of God into action by going out and doing the things that glorify God in the community. So that others can see, right, what God is doing in our lives, and through our lives, we're blessing other people. And often, people say they want to get better, but in actuality, all they want is to feel better. They don't want to get better because the answers may be too hard, may be too difficult. Right? Let's say this. I'll use myself as an example again. I was in Colorado, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. There for about a week and a half. My daughter's apartment is not set up. She didn't even have cookware and everything else. There was an oven, there was a microwave, but we didn't even have dishes or silverware or not a whole lot. And I use it as an excuse. And the reason I use it as an excuse is that we ate out every single day. Thankfully, I only eat two meals a day, but even at two meals a day, right? I came home. I went to the doctor. Let me back up. Before I left, I had to go to the doctor. I had to do one of those. I had to go see the rear admiral. And so I had to jump on the scale. Came back 2 weeks later, went back to see the doctor to get my results. I had to jump on the scale again. And as I was standing on the scale and I saw the nurse taking off the lead weight, I'm looking at my clothes and I'm going, did I wear less clothes the last time I came to the doctor? Because all I had on were walking shorts and a polo shirt and rubber slippers. And the scale said I was 5 pounds heavier than I was 2 weeks ago. Right? And I thought to myself, how in the world could this happen? Well, when you're eating takeout, and not the kind of takeout that I normally eat, what my daughter likes to eat, it wasn't a good combination of my waistline and everything else, right? But I was not willing to make that sacrifice. I was not willing to go to Walmart to go pick up some cookware and pick up some dishware and to pick up some silverware until the fifth day. And then the fifth day came, I waited for my daughter to unbox all of these things and wash them, and that took another 3 days. So hence, by the time I was ready to leave, that's when we had clean dishes and clean cookware and everything else. But the point is this, I could have easily done that on the first day, but I didn't. Why? Because I didn't want to take the time to go shopping and buy all those things. I might, you know, there were other priorities that needed to be taken care of. But oftentimes what happens is that we know what is right, but we just don't do it. We just don't do it. So tonight is going to be short. In fact, glad is short because I've already talked to most of the night. 4 points. In order to get better, you must see your need. In order to get better, you must see your need. Number two, in order to get better, you must see a doctor. Number three, in order to get better, you must submit to an examination. And fourth, in order to get better, you must stick to the doctor's prescription. So in order to get better, you must see your need. You know, interesting, in the book of Revelations, Jesus speaking to the church in Laodicea, he says this, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. If we are blinded to our needs, essentially, guess what? Nobody can fill them because we don't even know that we have a need, right? And the question I have, this is just an internal questionnaire. Three questions. Are you experiencing physical, emotional pain? Second question. How are your emotions? You stress? You feel powerless? You feel hopeless? Number three. How's your awareness? See, because oftentimes what happens is that when we're experiencing physical or emotional pain, our awareness is muted. What do I mean by that? You know, when I first was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, this is like almost 20 years ago, right? And I remember when it got bad, every single morning,
I would gently put my feet on the ground, roll out of bed, gently put my feet on the ground. And what I would do is I would put one foot down and I would put some weight on it. I would put the other foot down and put some weight on it. The reason why I did that is that one morning I woke up and I just stood up out of bed and I just collapsed because the pain was just so great. The pain in my feet were just so great. But God was good because the pain would migrate from my right foot to the left foot. So hence, when I woke up in the morning, I had to test, is the right foot sore today or is the left foot sore today? And then when it got real bad, it was 2 feet that was sore. But I say that because this, is that when you're focused on your physical pain, you're not aware of anything else. My mind was just on the pain. How do I get rid of this pain? Right? Everything is just painful. Some of you have been to my house. To go from my front door to my garage used to take me anywhere between 5 to 8 minutes. And you guys have seen that walk. It's what? If you're taking your time, maybe it takes you a minute. If you take one step at a time, it only takes you a minute. But it literally took me at least 5 minutes to get from my house to my car because it was so painful just to walk. And all I could think about was that pain. I could not think about what I needed to do at work, much less focus on the business at hand, what I needed to do at work. So I say that. See, I knew I had a need. I needed to get rid of the pain that I was experiencing. But at the same time, when you're going through situations like that, our awareness is lost. We're totally lost. But the good news is this. Once you see your pain, then what we can do is we can move along the way. In order to get better, what do we need to do? We need to see a doctor, right? Jesus says in John 5:40, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." He had the answer, but people didn't want to come to him. Remember last year when I shattered my heel doing some things that I was not supposed to be doing? I immediately knew that I had done some damage to my body. And I immediately knew who I was going to see if I could get there. Because I have a great orthopedic surgeon. I trust her. She is very knowledgeable. She is very good at what she does. So I basically literally drove myself down to the doctor's office. Or in fact, I didn't. Before I drove myself down, I called the doctor's office and told them what happened. And they got me in that day. But I knew that first thing they needed to do was get some x-rays. So have to go down. Fortunately, it's in the same building as my doctor. So I went down, took some x-rays, came back up. And the doctor pulls up the x-ray and she says, "Mr. Yonamine, what have you been up to?" And I said, "Obviously nothing good." And she says, "Yeah, I can see that." So she's showing me the picture of my heel. And you got all these little bone fragments that are in the heel. And I went, "Are those bone fragments?" And she said, "Yeah, they're floating." So I said, "If they're floating and if they're fragments, is there anything that you can do?" She says, "No, I'll just give you a boot, a walking boot." I said, "So what does that mean?" She said, "You just got arrested, Hugh." And she told me this. She says, "Hugh, just keep eating the way you're eating." Because she knows the type of diet that I eat, right? I go in 2 weeks later, take another x-ray. And she says, "Hugh, can you come talk?" She's also the orthopedic surgeon up at the University of Hawaii Athletic Department. She says, "Hugh, can you talk to my student athletes?" I said, "Why?" She says, "Your healing is amazing." She says, even the UH athletes don't heal this quickly. I said, "I just followed your instructions. Just did what you told me to do." She says, "No, serious. Because my heel
healed, my heel healed in half the time that she was anticipating it to take. But the point is this, I had to go see a doctor because I had a problem. I knew what my problem was, right? But then when you go to see a doctor, I have three questions also. Who are you seeking help and advice from? Where are you seeking help and advice from? And the last question is, how do you know the advice that you're getting is trustworthy? You know, Hilda, you said, because, of course, we got this variant that's going around, super contagious, right? So a lot of people are worried and everything else. But ultimately, if you think about this, the best defense for our human body is a good, healthy immune system, a robust immune system. And of course, if we do have some health conditions, then yeah, we are challenged and we need to take precautions. And when we talk about seeking, must see a doctor, what about a spiritual doctor, right? The great physician. Remember the healing of the impotent man? And ultimately, what we see is in Mark 2:17, Jesus says, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, we got physical problems, we got emotional problems. What about our spiritual problems? See, each and every one of us, we know from birth, we were born as sinners. And because of that, we need a doctor, someone that can heal us spiritually. And the only one that can heal us spiritually is Jesus Christ. He tells us in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, in this day and age, I see rise in suicides. I see rise in drug overdoses. Why? Because people that are emotionally lonely or they feel outcast or whatever it is, because of all the lockdowns, what are they going to do? They're going to turn to something that they think will solve the problem, but what in actuality it's doing is, yeah, they feel better temporarily, but they don't actually get better. And oftentimes that's what happens. We're looking at the problem rather than the solution. Let's be solution oriented rather than harping on the problem. Everybody knows what the problem is. Tell me what to do. What's the solution to the problem? Well, the great physician can solve our problem. So in order to get better, we must go see a doctor. Third thing, in order to get better, you must submit to an examination. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. My question to you is this. Are you willing to allow God to search you? Job 34:21 reads, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. God sees everything. Allow him to search us. And then, are you willing to hear what he has to say? In John 16:13, Jesus says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And what he will show you, things to come. So when God speaks unto us, are we willing to listen? Yeah, I'm sure we're willing to listen. But the big question is, are we willing to obey? because that leads to the next point, number four. In order to get better, you must stick to the doctor's orders. James 1:22 reads, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, we've heard parents say, "Do as I say, not as I do." Yeah. What kind of example does that set? Mm. It's a bad example, right? You know, we cannot run, we cannot quit, and we cannot pretend that everything is all right when we're not. Sometimes what we have to do is we need to endure the pain of examination and treatment. Here's a quote from a man, a book that I read of his many years ago. He says this, "We must all suffer from one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is discipline weighs ounces while regret weighs tons." See, shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? Not shoulda, coulda, woulda, just do it. You know, one step at a time. One of the things that I promised myself was this, that I would consistently start exercising in the morning. It's just small bits. I'm not even going to even tell you what I'm doing. But I do it off and on, off and on. It's not one of those things that I do on a consistent basis. But I was listening to someone about a week ago, and the gentleman was saying that, talking about developing good habits. And you've heard people say, yeah, you can develop a habit, you do it 28 days, 40 days, or whatever it may be. All I promised myself was this, that I would do it every day. Do it every day. This morning was one of those days where, you know, it's just pass and do it tomorrow. Because I'm good at that, right? Tomorrow. Guess what? Tomorrow never comes. So I said, just do it. Just do it. I did. I felt better at the end, after I did it. But there was a whole bunch of talk that was going on in my head. Do it, don't do it, pass on it, no big deal. But I promised myself that I would do it. So I stuck to it, right? So, essentially, what we need to do is we must be willing to stick to the doctor's prescription. See, we need to engage in the practice that is prescribed. Job 23:12 says this, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." On a scale of 1 to 5, where do you put 1 being the least and 5 being the greatest, where do you put food? I look at it pretty high. It's an essential, something essential for survival, right? But my question is this, what about God's word? Where do you put it? On a scale of 1 to 5. According to Job, if food is 5, he would put God's word at 6 because he deems it more essential. Joshua 1:8 writes, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou do according to all that is written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The question is this, how often are you reading God's word? Right? Job says, it's more than my necessary food, but are you sticking to it, to that plan? Proverbs 15:29 reads, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but hears the prayer of the righteous." So, engaging in practice, basically we need to know what God's word is. In order to know what God's word is, we need to be reading God's word. How often are we reading God's word? Are we filling ourselves on a daily basis? Along with that, if we're reading God's word on a daily basis, he's filling us. And something else we should do is pray. Right? How often should we pray? As often as needed. Mm-hmm. You know, people ask me, how often do you pray? I said, I don't know. It depends on the day. You know, there are days where it's like just morning and before I go to sleep. And there are days that morning,
9 o'clock, 9:15, 9:30, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. It's like constant prayer because I need it, right? Mm-hmm. And the last thing is this. Enjoy the progress that you make. Do we fall? Yes, we fall. But don't kick yourself over. Just get back up and keep going. See, because when you resolve to get better by making up your mind to do right, you will not just feel better, but you will get better. Right? So we resolve to do something. Stick to it. I resolve to read God's Word every single day. Stick to it. Are there days where you're going to miss? Yeah, there are days you're going to miss. But don't beat yourself up for it. Just pick it up on the next day. We need to develop good habits. Because ultimately, if we're not doing the things that we need to do to get better, guess what? You're not going to get better. Mm-hmm. Getting better requires work. And sometimes it's hard work. We need to put in the work and the effort. That's part of our Christian walk, right? Especially in the days and times that we're in today, with all of the nonsense that goes on in the media, nonsense that goes on the internet and everything else, one thing that we can always count on, that we can stand firm on, is God's Word. Amen? All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you once again. We thank you for your word, Lord. It's often said many times that people want to get better, but ultimately the only thing they want to do is they want to feel better. And I pray, Lord, that we would resolve, that we would desire a better relationship with you. And I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would resolve to not just feel better, but to actually get better. We ask your blessings, that you watch over us, keep us safe. We pray this in Jesus' name.